Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America. We can't let him tear the kingdom down. This is no game. This is war. Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war. The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul. Satan's armies come to kill.
This is war. Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 17 December 2025. Welcome to this broadcast. We're going to discuss something tonight. I guess in some people's minds and hearts, it's somewhat controversial. But I think if they would look to the proof of what we're going to talk about, it would cease being controversial. They would see what we're saying is totally true. We're going to discuss something very important, so don't go away. Before I go there, don't forget tomorrow being Thursday, Lord willing, be in the office all day tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. We do want to hear from you, and I mean that. Tomorrow is what we're here for. If you want to just call and say hello to myself or Chris or somebody, feel free to do that. We don't mind. We want to be part of your family. You are ours. Please call in. You know, ask any questions to me or if you want to place an order. Whatever you want to do tomorrow, call us at 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. Well, if you can call long distance, please do that. It does save us quite a bit of money, folks, every month. 304-846-4448 to call and talk to us tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. I hope you'll do that. And if you don't receive our Minuteman magazine via email, this is my opinion, but I think it's a good one. You're missing out on the most inclusive and probably the largest magazine you'll ever get in hard copy or email. We put together the Minuteman News every month, and normally it wouldn't go out to next Thursday, but next Thursday everybody be off. It's, of course, it's Christmas Day, and I don't do Christmas, but that's okay if you do. But anyway, so we'll be closed next Thursday. So we'll be going out a week early, going to our printer down in Texas, and he'll get it put up and put together and email it out to me, and I'll email it to you. Well, I email it to my webmaster, then he emails it to you. But anyway, it's a magazine that's full of written confirmation of a lot of things we talk about on the radio. You can share with your friends, email to all of them, and I wish you would. If you receive it, please just send it out to your whole list, if you don't mind, please. Just call me tomorrow, give me email address, or email me at Pastor Butch, pastorbutch@startmail.com. Pastor Butch at start, like you start a car, pastorbutch@startmail.com. Please, if you want to receive it, I wish you would. Along with that, you get our email blast on important events happening as they happen. So if you want any of that, please just call tomorrow and give us your email address or email me and tell me I'd like to receive this, and you'll get on the list ASAP. And that's a promise. But our guest tonight, I've had on several times in the past now, a man that I enjoy talking to, just a humble, nice guy to be around and talk to. Never met him face to face. like to someday. He's a very kind-hearted individual, but he does a very important work. His name is David Daniels. We're going to discuss something like, folks, that I think should be right at the top of our list about anything we're thinking about, because if you want to worship Christ, if you want to follow the laws of God and live righteously, you got to know what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it. We have today a lot of confusion because so many people are following books. I won't call them Bibles. They're not. That are not the true word of God. And many are being deceived. I can name them. The Mormons, the Catholics, and many others are following the Bible, a Bible that's not, it's not scriptural, it's not gospel, and it wasn't sanctioned by God Almighty. We're going to tell you tonight why I trust one Bible. Now, I know I have a copy of Geneva Bible. I do. It's a fairly well, but it wasn't ordained. It's not what I would call a perfect Bible by any means, but it's a good study Bible in some senses. But I use a KJV 1611 exclusively. If I want to know the meaning of a word, I dig up my concordance and look it up in the Greek or a Hebrew word meaning and figure out what it's saying. I don't read Greek or Hebrew very well at all. I don't claim to, don't have to. That's why I have the concordance to help me understand things even deeper than what I can conceive with just in our language. But folks, the King James Bible, I'm telling you this now, we're going to try to prove it to you, is the only one you want to use, that you want to trust in. I mean that. Let's go to our guest, David. David, are you there?
I am.
It is good to have you, sir, and thank you so much for joining me tonight. I know you're busy and you're writing another book and you're up to your eyeballs all the time, but thanks for taking time out of your schedule to come on this program and share your thoughts with us. I mean that. Before we get started, though, tell the folks a little bit about David Daniels. For new listeners, who are you, what do you do, and how did you get started doing it?
Ultimately, I am a saved believer in Jesus Christ and his shed blood, paid for my sins. I believe his holy words, the Bible. I shaped my entire life on my belief in that Bible, and have spent many decades finding out that some of the Bibles I've been using and stuff weren't actually what God said. And what I want in my life is to have a life shaped after what God really said, not man's opinions that they put on top of it. I've been in the occult and various religious cults. I was a Mormon for 4 years. I was a number of things in my lifetime. But as a Bible-believing Christian, it has been my blessing to find out what the real words of God are, how they came to be, and why we can trust them so that our Christian life is not just some subjective feeling, but objective truth from an objective God.
Amen. So you started out, you've been through some, we'll say, different religions over the years. You've been involved in some things that were definitely satanic and deceived into what I call a cult, but you come out of it. And what was your journey out of that? What made you start looking for alternative answers?
Well, that's a huge, long-term question. God literally interfered with my life when I was 17 years old and thought I had it all figured out. I thought I was going to, I was in my final reincarnation. I was going to take on the Christ self. I had some seemingly occultic powers and Unity Ministry, Unity School of Christianity. It's not Christian, it's occultic. It's like religious science and Christian science had kind of shown me books in that direction that were saying that, you know, I could take on this Christ self and take on these powers and stuff like that. And the Lord decided, we're going to interrupt this program with a special bulletin. You're serving the devil, not the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can go onto youtube.com/@, that at sign, ChickTracts, ChickTracts, and you can watch my testimony. I tell it in numerous different ways and go back to the places where things happened and give all the evidence and stuff. I can go into that there. But what God did, though, is he spoke to me, Matthew 7:21-23, after I just called down lightning from heaven when I lived in Sky Valley, about 22 miles from Palm Springs in my high school years. I had called out lightning, and lightning struck immediately when I said it, and it scared me. And I said, I'm a prophet of God. And then I heard some words. And that's what the Lord said, Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And starting from there, I had grabbed a big old King James Bible out of my house that I had gotten at a religious science bookstore, but it was a real King James. It's the copy of it right over there. And from that scripture, the Lord literally turned the pages as I shook and held a flashlight and showed me my sins, his righteousness, and his coming judgment. And from that night on, I completely gave myself over to Jesus Christ, started reading in Genesis and Matthew, and just kept on reading through the Bible. And it was not until after I was baptized that a guy gave me a New American Standard and said, this is the Bible you're supposed to be reading. And when I read that, I thought I was supposed to be going in the right direction. I ended up going to a Bible college that used that, and then they said, no, it's the American Standard 1901 you want to go for. And then a couple years later, I became a top Greek student at the school, and we're starting to think of being a Bible translator in Papua New Guinea, and the girlfriend who became my fiance and my wife, Deborah, and I studied linguistics with Summer Institute of Linguistics and Wycliffe Bible Translators, and got advanced in that stuff. I went to Fuller Seminary, went straight into advanced Greek and Hebrew, and went into a bunch of stuff like that, thinking that we're going to give this right Bible. And then, of course, God has a way of turning all that around. And I, as a long story short, one guy at a church I was at said a single sentence, and he said, talking about the Bible, if God did it right the first time, why would he need to do it a second? And it got me to looking at the King James Bible and looking at the history and looking at the manuscripts. And I started finding out it wasn't what I was taught. And now I have a library filled with these books. And I've written a number of books myself. And to go into this history and show people, this isn't what we were taught. God actually made a promise in the Bible to preserve his holy words. And God kept that promise, or he's not God. And so you have to ask yourself, where did he keep that promise if he really kept the promise? Because all your professors will tell you he didn't. They won't say it in those words. They'll just say that it would take nothing short of a miracle to ensure the inerrancy of a single copy of an original autograph. That's a whole new teaching that started in 1881. But that's another story. It's in a lot of my blogs and in the books. I go through a lot of history there. But the bottom line was, God made a promise, and he originally, when he spoke his words to Moses, and there's stuff that was passed down to the family lines of the creation from Adam and then through Seth and Enos, and passing down the genealogies that Noah carried on the ark. He only had five chapters and only five pages on the ark, but carried that down, and it passed on down to the people, the descendants of Heber, to the Hebrew people. We're coming down to Moses, and he got things written down, and then God spoke to him, and he said, you take these words that you've written in this big old scroll, and you hand them to the tribe of Levi, to the priests, and those priests will take this word. These are my words. You're not to add to them. You're not to take away from them. God is very clear about those kind of things. He wants us, like in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, he says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So God wants us to be able to keep his commands, and the only way to keep them is if we have them. So he passed them down.
Amen.
So then when he comes to the end of Moses' life, he had to pass it on. And so God set it up in Deuteronomy. He taught people that he was to give it to the Levite priests. It said, take this book of the law in Deuteronomy 31, 26. take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against thee. So he put it so the Levites couldn't say, hey, we didn't know. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. No, no, you've got the law, and it's right against the Ark of the Covenant, and the descendants of Aaron can get it because they can go into the holy, most holy place. But so then, at that point, what happens? Well, Deuteronomy 17, God said to Moses that when there's going to be a king in the future, there was going to be a king. It's going to happen. Right. When they do, it said, and it shall be in Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 to 20, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of Levi. So now you have a direct connect. Every single king is supposed to sit there with the Levite priest right there over his head, holding a big stand and putting the big scroll of Moses there, and he's got to copy every letter of that. Every letter of that, he's got to copy, and they're looking over him, making sure he does it right. Verse 8, 19, and shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart not be lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand and to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So God's pattern is to give us a book that we absolutely know is God's words. And we cannot add to those words. We cannot take away from those words. And that way we can understand those words. So it kept on passing it down. And when they came back from captivity, even after the Israelites were chased out of Israel, God chased them out to give the land its Sabbath, and it got its Sabbath years, and it went through all its stuff. Even after all that, then God changed something. People came back, and those people were different. They were used to a different language. They weren't used to the regular writings of Scripture in Hebrew as they were. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, when they're coming back into Jerusalem, and it says that there's 13 different people in Nehemiah 8:7, and the Levites who caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they, verse 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So what that tells us is they didn't change the words to suit the people. They changed the people to understand the words.
Amen. Amen.
That's God's pattern. Do you see how God's pattern is working? We're seeing this happen. So then all the way down in Jesus' ministry in Luke, he reads from the scroll of the law, and what does he tell them? This day is this scripture fulfilled in thine ears, in thy hearing. Do you see? He called it scripture. And if anybody knew, if there was a thing out of place, it would have been Jesus, because he's the one who spoke to Isaiah. He's God. So God superintended, like a superintendent of schools, God's the superintendent of scripture. He superintended over his word. So the things he wanted in are in, things he wanted out are out. And God made promises to preserve his words, right?
Amen. Yes, he did.
He gave promises. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35, Mark 13:31, Luke 21:3, he made those promises. So then what happened? Well, you know that 40 years, or less than 40 years, Jesus was crucified about 32 A.D., based on the reading of Daniel and counting the number of days according to the book of Daniel until the Messiah is cut off, 40 years after that, less than 40 years after that, Rome besieged Jerusalem and finally took it. And they burned down the temple. And all those records in there, all the ones that showed how our Bible is absolutely true as it is, that's why there's no notes anywhere of anybody disagreeing with, you know, in Nehemiah 22 and 42. Why? How's that true? You can watch my video and find out. It's all there. But in the temple, they had no problem with it. They knew it was true. He was, when he was a proxy, he was 22. 20 years later, he was the king at the death of the father. Standard procedure. But anyway, the scriptures are passed down But at this time, there's no more temple, so what are the Levites going to do? Well, soon we come up, in the next few hundred years, we come up to a people called the Masoretes. And I don't have as much information as I want to, but I'll bet you they're descended from the Levites, because that's the only tribe God has entrusted the scriptures to. So the Old Testament had been held by the Levites, and you already know that even the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are like the equivalent of somebody just emptying their house out and sticking all the books in a cave and running away for fear of the Romans. There's no living place there or anything at Qumran, the Dead Sea. It was just a place of stored manuscripts with no background, no history, no provenance. I mean, no proof of where they came from, nothing. They're just sitting there, and they just sat there and partially decayed and got restored in the 20th century. The Dead Sea Scrolls. And then you take a manuscript passed down by the Masoretes 1,200 years later, and they're the same. That's amazing. That shows you that it wasn't man preserving God's words. It was Amen. God.
Amen.
Exactly. So that's the Old Testament. That's the easy part. What about the Greek? That's when we get to the New Testament. Now, the Greek is a little different, because the devil knew that all the doctrines that caused people to turn from him and turn to God were not in the Old Testament very much. They were solidly in the New Testament. That's where his kingdom was being shattered. Because of the cross, the devil's kingdom was shattered. So he had to shatter the New Testament. So he got people changing it any way and every way they could. So even the Greek, early Greek churches started forming into associations and bigger things like we call denominations, what we now call the Eastern Orthodox. These people,
and by the way, Second Peter, he calls them heresies, but go ahead.
There you go. But you have people who got together, and when they came to doctrines that they had problems with, the Greeks what now became the Orthodox religion just kind of cut them out and threw them away. Like 1 John 5, 7b to 8a. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, and there are three that bear witness in the earth. Those words are removed. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, where it says, after the Ethiopian eunuch looks and sees water and says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, they were baptizing babies at the time. So the next words were very hard. The ones that are really there are, and Philip answered, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then they stop the chariot, goes in, gets baptized. See? That's the whole movement. But for the Orthodox Church, they're baptizing babies. And babies can't believe with all their heart. They weren't stupid. They couldn't say that. So they just cut it out and threw it away. And then when they had their scriptoriums, that's big copying rooms, where people would sit there and one person would have the master and other people would just copy it down, they copied down many, many copies, missing those things. Now, they had most things right. Most of the text is really good. It's like 99% right. But it has things like this that are still in it. But you know what? Early on, God had already covered for that. Because where was it that the disciples were first called Christians?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
It was in Antioch, Acts 11:26. Yeah, it wasn't Alexandria. Alexandria, a lot of heretics, a lot of apostates. But in Antioch is where the disciples were called Christians first, because they not only had the scriptures, they started translating them and getting them out and doing world missions. They started missions right there in Antioch of Syria, north of Jerusalem, about close to 300 miles. So you go up there and you have this divergence really early on of the text. And those people who went in all these different directions and those people who translated them into some different languages didn't have those same doctrinal disputes the Orthodox were having. So they didn't remove those parts. And now, who knew where all the parts were when it mattered? Now let's get to the part two. Part two is where God gave that promise. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But wait, there are copies with different things in them. Yes, there are. Yeah, but wait, the Alexandrians and the Gnostics, they pulled out all sorts of stuff, and they kept up making different copies that didn't even agree with each other. Yes, that's true. Why didn't God stop it all? Because God still had copies of the scriptures that were around. People were passing them, hand by hand and passing them down to their children. Some of them were missing a few things, but God had a time and a place and a plan. And what was the key point to that plan? The printing press. The movable type printing press of 1460s. When Johannes Gutenberg got that printing press together, we're no longer talking about one-offs. When I write something, if I gave you the Gospel of John, and you sat there and copied it down, and I copied it down, and you had a Sunday school class of people copied it down, everybody would make certain mistakes. They just make different ones. And a couple of them might get it exactly right, right? That's human nature.
Yes.
Those are all called one-offs, because each person is physically writing one copy. But with a printing press, you have a master. And that master is exactly copied by ink, stamp, stamp, stamp. So you have to have something better than that. And that's when God's promise begins to be fulfilled in the global fashion. That's when it all of a sudden invades Mainz. The people who are at the printing press, sworn to keep the secret about the printing press, grab parts of the press and run off to different cities and make their own presses. And that starts the beginning. So when the Reformation hits, a next generation, then all of a sudden there's a place to print it. And so God starts bringing together those little pieces and lets those people from those different Christian communions of different countries throughout the ages come together. And they start going, oh, well, those scriptures were there. That belongs here. This belongs here. Oh, and here's a Greek text that backs that. But the reason those guys didn't have it is because they didn't believe in it. But look, all these other languages, they all knew it was there. So that backs the fact that it really belongs there. So all of this happened, and this manuscript is coming together, and Erasmus of Rotterdam was sent by the Pope to try and conquer. You know, we got all these Greeks coming in because they're chased out by the Muslims. Translate some stuff into Latin for us. And as he did that, he started finding out about the true scriptures. And he started the beginning of what we now call the received text. As we got those last pieces put together, God assembled one Bible. And now we got the Hebrew. The Bomberg text was available. So they got the Hebrew text of the Old Testament. And they got this assembled text from Tyndale and from Theodore Beza and from Stephanus and working up to the Elzevir brothers. Working through the decades, God brought together the Greek of the New Testament because God knew where all the pieces were. He kept the promise. Remember, he didn't say it was our promise. It's his promise.
That's right.
So he worked it out so that then, how are you going to translate it, though? Well, God arranged something amazing. He took people from two completely opposing parties. The Puritans on the one side, their idea of church was to sit in a very painful pew in a very empty-looking church where the only thing you can pay attention to is the words of God being spoken
and
the preaching of the preacher.
Hang on through the break here. Please don't remember your thought there, David. Folks, back at the break, a lot more to say and your phone calls, too. What God put together next was a miracle. So y'all don't go away. I'll be open 717-300-1698.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life of over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, James McKenna here for JMCC Water Filters. We're having two amazing specials on the Gravity Water Filter Elements. This is for the Berkey-style water filters. Our own HI water filter elements, the best two-stage water filter elements you can buy, and also the least expensive. On sale, $199 for a four-pack, $378, that's $20 off. For an 8-pack, you buy 8, we send you 10. And the 12-pack, an amazing $100 off. That's for $497 for a 12-pack, and we send you 14. Also, the whole house water filter, typically $1,480, now on sale for an amazing $699. Call Pastor Butch office, 800-777-4403. That's 800-777-4403, while this amazing sale is still on. Thank you.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Hurd, that's spelled H-U-R-D, 224 Hurd Road, Netty, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Hurd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All right, folks, we are back, and we'll take phone calls in a few minutes to 717-300-1698. We're talking to David Daniels, and he is putting together a book. Well, by his talk about right now, he's going to have in a book. And I think anybody out there who's a serious Christian will want to know what we're talking about tonight. They want to hear it. They want to know about it. They want to be able to share with their friends the truth of God's Word. And where and what the true word of God is. I hope that you understand that we're doing this because we want you to see the truth and not be deceived. Satan has many deceptions out there, folks. We have to be able to discern the truth and watch out for his snares. Go ahead and finish your thought, David, on what you were saying. Went to break.
All right. Well, first of all, get you back in the 1500s, God's fulfilling that promise by making the printing press, making places where they're going to make one master copy and then have millions of copies. So that's where God has to come in and fulfill his promise to preserve his words. And so all that's been happening through the 1500s. Then in the beginning of the 1600s comes amazing. Two opposing parties, the Puritans, which were Spartan and bare bones minimum and had their own points of view, and then on the other side is the Church of England, which is just barely wet under the ears coming out of the Catholic Church and all the pomp and circumstance and everything. And God brought them together to agree on the translation of every word of all 1,189 chapters of the Bible. So much so that the only disagreements after 14 readings through of the text by these brilliant people were put into a side note or a marginal note preceded by the word or. You see, or you can ignore. That's what I say. That's when that one guy just held on. I still think I want it this way. But all the other people out of 54 plus translators agrees together from two opposing camps. So there's no room for individual personal opinions at this point. They got this translation to get what does the Greek say? What does the Hebrew say? So first you have text. Then you have translation. That translation has stood the test of time. In fact, 414 years we've got, and people have tried to wage war against it almost from the time it came out, and it stood every test. And why? Because it produces what the hand of God on it would produce. It produces faith. It produces a belief in salvation by grace through faith without works to salvation. Unlike every other religion in the world, and even unlike the modern Bibles, which have snuck it back in, they've snuck works back into the Bibles. Now, that's like every other religion. The only the King James Bible is clearly set apart this way. It clearly delineates this without any backing away. Then, it also gives you hope, and it gives you clarity of doctrine. And in all that happens there, those people have fruit, and that fruit turned into worldwide mission. And that worldwide mission was the biggest in history. It produced revival. When people got away from doctrine, if they went back into reading the King James Bible, it brought them back into clarity of doctrine, and it still does to this day. And this book has withstood the fights, it's withstood the other things, but it also does something else. And this is what's been amazing to me in these last few years. As I've been looking, there's a doctrine, Jesus Christ is creator. Well, do you know that Jesus Christ is creator is being removed from modern Bibles? And I have a whole bunch of some videos on that. You can watch them.
Yes, yes.
But that whole concept, then, to take that away, has happened from these modern Bibles changing by Jesus Christ to with, to in, to other words, but not by. So that the Father's the creator, not the Son, and it enables a lot of different heretical beliefs and things to go on, and a lot of misunderstandings. But the other thing is, these other Bibles have so many questions they leave you with. But if you go back and you have those crazy questions, and then you get a King James Bible out, it answers the questions. Now, if you're the devil, which book would you want? One that leaves you stuck with questions and contradictions, or the one that answers them? Obviously, the devil wants you to have the one that does not answer your questions. And that's the modern Bible.
We offer a book here on the gentleman that helped translate the Bible, the Greek scriptures, and the King James had them working for him. And if you read their qualifications, I don't know if too many people alive today that would come close to what they were qualified to do. Scholarly is an understatement for those men. We have the book available if you want it. You can read it for yourself. It's available. Just call tomorrow. Ask about it. It's here. But if you want to know the truth about the KJV and why we use it, that'll help you. If you don't want to know, that's fine. But we have little books here on look what's missing out of the new Bibles. I mean, it's all there. We don't just say this, we prove it. We better get the phone call before we're out of time here, David. You're doing a wonderful job, and I appreciate it. By the way, Kathy in Indiana, if you're listening, call us tomorrow. Getting a little concerned about you. I haven't heard from you for a while. Kathy in Indiana, give us a call tomorrow. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's start in New York State. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron, welcome.
Thank you. God bless you, both of you. Praise Jesus Christ. And it's great to hear you. Good evening.
Hey, Aaron.
Hello.
Welcome to the program.
Amen. Well,
go ahead.
I want to start off by telling you I appreciate both of you and Pastor and David Daniels. And I'm a total King James Bible believer. I love Chick Tracks. And actually, the Lord Jesus Christ, God used Look What's Missing by David Daniels that you wrote to help settle me on the King James Bible issue.
Amen.
And I would like to ask you a question, actually, that has been posed to me by the other side, by the anti-King James Bible side. And some questions I know may seem a little silly, but like I had a high school teacher who told me the only question that is silly or stupid is the one not asked.
That's
and
true.
If I may ask this, this is a question that the anti-King James Bible folks have thrown at me, attempting to dissuade my faith in the King James Bible. And here is what it is. Their claim, they ask me, they say, well, if the King James Bible is truly God's perfectly preserved word, as you believe, which I told them I believe, they said, can I prove to them from the King James Bible itself that it is divinely inspired, that it is just as inspired as the original autographs? And their claim that they use to say it is that the translators themselves denied that was from the dedicatory, the King James dedicatory, where they called it, should be one more exact translation. So now, brothers, it seems to me that these folks are straining at a gnat, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, but have you ever heard this claim before, and what is a good response?
Go ahead, David.
If you're talking about the King James translators themselves, they talked about having one good translation, not justly to be accepted against, which means you don't have any good reason not to reject it. And they themselves didn't say what people say they say. I've actually been offered by another person to do a podcast just taking apart the preface called From the Translators to the Reader. They absolutely believed in the Hebrew and the Greek as it was, and they absolutely believed in the truth of this every word of Scripture, and all their dedication was to that. And I have to say, one is, like I was just saying to Pastor Butt, that it's the fruit shows you the root. The fruit, yes, is absolutely clear, and what it does in the people who receive it, just like in the Bible, there are people who had received the word and what God did with them when they had that word. Great was the company of them that published it, as it says in the Scriptures. The Scripture itself, I have a number of different groups. I don't have them in front of me at the moment. But there are places in the Scripture where it tells you Paul's words and these other things are true, and Peter telling that Paul's words are inspired, as the other Scriptures, which they rest to their own destruction. There's precious promises that God has given in the Bible, and then there's this massive distribution all over the world of these words. As I said, the New Testament itself is like over 99% the same in even the most divergent non-Alexandrian manuscripts. They're so,
right,
it's, God has made it so clear that there is words. And yet, when we got the words of God, God settled them in both in the first century AD, to where they were copied into multiple languages, and you can compare those to this day, or two, and now, since the 1600s, when now these words have been settled and caused such changes in the whole world as to create literally the language that God chose, English became the last world language. Here we are, this world language, and everything is defined. The early dictionaries of English in a language that wasn't even a language much at the time. It had to be created during the 1500s. And by the 1600s, it had become cemented to the Oxford English Dictionary, defined words by verses out of the King James Bible. God proved it through the fruit.
Well,
you shall know them by the fruit.
And by the way, the 1820 Dictionary does the same thing. It uses Scripture to clarify words. We often see the ministry here. So, folks, the original dictionary, 1828, we have copies of that, use Scripture to clarify words and explain the meaning. Go ahead, Aaron. Finish up. Go ahead.
Amen. Well, that was, you answered perfectly, and praise God, and keep up the great work, both of you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good call.
Amen.
Before getting next caller, I'll make one comment here. For many years, I heard, well, King James was a homosexual. Why would he have the Bible translated? And I finally had, I dug into it a little bit and to see what this is all about. That was a damnable lie. He was a godly man. And I can prove it. I have facts on that. Folks, this is all available through the ministry if you want it. We have facts about King James and the kind of man he was. He was a godly man. And I think you'd be, if you want to see the truth, you'd be interested in reading that also. It's available through the ministry if you want it. Very quickly, before we go to the next caller, please, David, take about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, tell me about King James.
Okay, well, there's a book called King James Unjustly Accused by Stephen Costin, which went into a lot of detail. I actually have a book called Can You Trust Just One Bible? And the second chapter is, was King James a homosexual? I have two videos on it on YouTube. King James was a man who deeply and dearly loved his wife. He, the only accusations of homosexuality were allegedly by a guy named Anthony Weldon, but the accusations weren't leveled until a year after Weldon died. It's easily possible somebody put his name on it.
Uh-huh.
That it wasn't what people said. But nonetheless, it answers all the points. Number one, what about his bedchamber? Why did he talk about that? Well, look in the Bible. It's the same. The prophet reveals what is said in my bedchamber. It was a concern that the prophets in Israel knew what the king was planning. Why the bedchamber? It's the safest place for any ruler. All the way through to modern times, the bedchamber of the ruler has to be the safest place. So when every place else is possibly compromised, the bedchamber is like a vault. It is so safe with only most trusted people. And so when people are invited to their bedchamber, they're the people who are allowed to have the entrusted information. There are guards that are around. There's all sorts of enforcements around. The building is made to secure the king, because when he's asleep is when he's most vulnerable. Second, King James had some things. He had some physical problems. And those physical problems people could use to say, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that. No. He had some physical things. He had to lean on people. They had to hold him up. I had Graves' disease over a decade ago. I had it for a period of 10 years, and I had to have people hold me up. But it didn't make me something like undesigned like that. But he loved his children. He taught against sodomy and those horrible things. He talked to his son. He wrote a book to his son telling him to avoid all that horrible stuff. No, all that stuff is fake, and it was created by people in order to get people away from the King James Bible, which is ironic because the people who wrote it in the 80s and tried to turn people away right when the new King James Bible was coming out and Moody Monthly started printing these articles were later revealed to be LGBTQ themselves, and they were using it in order to promote their thing to pull people to modern Bibles and away from the King James. King James is actually very clear and very Amen. Powerful.
Amen. Very, very well said. Yes. Let's go to Joe right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in.
Thank you, Butch, for taking my call. I don't know where to start. There's so many things that you guys stole my thunder talking about. But I will share this. I know. I will share this. King James had 8 children.
Yes.
And they're all from one woman.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, people don't realize that. I had a man one time try to prove to me that King James was a homosexual. So I started doing some digging. And I found where King James wrote a booklet for his son who was going to proceed at, or, you know, take over the throne after him, how to deal with the homosexuals of his day. So, I mean, those things are so great, but I did want to share the story about me because I used the Revised Standard for many years, even went to Bible college with that. I remember sitting in a class, I don't even remember what it was called, and we studied all these different Bibles except for one. The King James was not invited. We had all
That's
these
right.
other versions. And, you know, you want to talk about confusion. I get really irritated when I find somebody that really talking about a good subject, but they pop up with one of these other Bibles. I have a feeling they're always still missing the point. Because when I did finally break away from, I went from the Revised Standard to the NIV. My wife and I both studied that. Then we went to the New King James. What a farce. And all that time, the Holy Spirit was nagging me because we had the 1611 in our home. In fact, we had one of the best ones, which was a Geneva Bible, not Geneva, Regency Bible, which really is great for beginners, reading the King James. And it was sitting there on my shelf, and I finally opened it up, and Satan attacked me every way he could to keep me from reading it.
Of course.
So I sat in bed one night, literally almost in tears, asking God to help me understand the book. And now that book is, the Word of God comes so much alive to me just reading the King James. And folks, it's not hard to read. I grew up being, reading illiterate. And it was until my 20s when I started learning how to read, and that was teaching myself. And still, I understand the King James. It's not hard to comprehend it.
Well, for those that are born again,
it's not an interpretation.
For those that are born again, the Holy Spirit will be our interpreter also. He'll help us understand the Scriptures. It may be nonsense to those who are not born again, but those who live by the Spirit know this Word is Spirit, and it bears witness with your Spirit. Go ahead.
Well, we have all these false pastors and preachers in the pulpit who propagate all these other Bibles, but they will never go near the King James. They will actually preach a sermon out of six different Bibles. And if I go to one of their churches, I wonder, how confused can I get? Because I know their people are confused.
That's true.
Which one do I believe in? I have literally been in church services where pastor's wife popped in and says, I found a new version, and I love this one. And when I ask her which verses are missing, because there's a lot of them missing.
And
we have so much evidence all through history, other than the King James, that the manuscripts that they used were literal translations of the time. They go back to the time of the apostles, the Apostle John, the letters he wrote, the Peter and Jude. These are all documentations that are preserved through history. And if you look at the new Bibles, compared to the King James, including even the Geneva in some ways, the new ones are so counterfeited that they don't make sense. But the King James does.
Amen to that.
Absolutely right. That consistency is what really makes a difference. That you have consistent doctrine. You don't go to Ephesians and then go to Colossians and then find something completely different. It's a consistent, straightforward. And again, there's people saying, "Oh yeah, well, people harmonize them." Right. So there is a God and there is a devil, right? And there's a devil who wants to mess things up. You think the devil's on the side of the Christians who are making it make more sense?
Really?
Good point.
And one of the things I do, I have a facsimile Bible, and someone will say to me, "Well, they altered the King James," and then I'll pull that and say, "Here, read this." I doubt they can because of the old English and the old spelling, but right there's no difference. Yeah, the 1779, I think they called it the red letter edition, where they kind of corrected the typos in it. But elsewise, there's nothing changed. It's still the complete version.
Still was their Word of God. Joe, thanks for calling. Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. I'll ask you this question, David. We're running out of time. I've worked with a few preachers over the years through the ministry, and I've found there's one thing that I can't say all of them, some of them I worked with, would not let a prisoner have a King James Bible. They could get an NIV or an ESV or whatever, but they could not get a King James Bible. Have you seen this be true with any of your ministry?
I don't go to churches like that. No.
I mean, they're trying to offer the Bibles to prisoners. Over the years. Yeah, and the prison won't let the King James Version in. Some of them do, but there have been some.
We just try to deal with the ones that do take the King James Bible.
Shouldn't that make you understand that they're afraid of something? They don't want the prisoners getting the entire Word of God. I mean, there's something they're trying to hide, or why would they care which Bible they read?
Yeah, I think that's actually spiritual. I really do think that's a spiritual issue. There's something else going on. When we went to Bible college, it was all Bibles are 99% the same, but don't use the King James because it's horrible. Wait, what? And you've got Bibles that you admit are based off of the King James, and then you tell me that they're bad. Yeah, here we go. I have a 1611 New Testament King James, and I've actually taken the 1611 and preached from it. When people try to tell me, "Oh, it's different," really? Well, I'm going to preach right out of this.
Yeah, good for you. Tell the folks, we're running out of time, though, how they can get your books, learn more about you and what you do.
Sure. And I work at a place that makes gospel tracts since 1961 called Chick Publications, named after Jack Chick. He didn't intend it, but that's another story. You can watch the story, You Don't Know Jack, on YouTube, or get the book over at chick.com. You go to chick.com/Bible. All my videos are you can access the videos to the YouTube channel, or you can see all the different books. They're all accessible on there. Well, we write these gospel tracts. That's how I got saved from This Was Your Life. These comic gospel tracts that now I'm not only writing them, I'm also drawing them. There's a new one coming out in January called The Scar, so in a couple weeks it'll be out. It'll be online. You can see it. The whole idea is to get people out of their doldrums, out of the daily life, and get their earphones off and let them be distracted, away from the distractions, pulled away from them by the Word of God with a captivating story that leads to a gospel message.
Amen. And how can they order your books?
Say what?
How can they order your books?
Yeah, chick.com. You can see the books and click right on them to order them at chick.com/Bible to make it quick, or just go to chick.com and click on the subsection and go to books.
All right, folks. Now, you heard it, and I enjoyed talking to David. I wish you weren't so far away, David. I'd come over and we'd break bread together and talk some more. But I always enjoy having you on the radio, and I want to thank you again for joining us tonight. I do appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. It's been wonderful.
And my new book is finished. I want a copy of it, okay?
Oh, absolutely. Just like you got Westcott and Hart from Faith to Doubt, right?
Right, exactly. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, you did. I want to thank you for everything, David. God bless, my friend. And do keep in touch. If I do anything to help you anytime, you let me know.
All right. God bless you.
God bless, my friend. Talk to you soon. Folks, look at me after that. We told the truth. You heard the truth. If you want more information on this, we have it here at the office. Just let me know. All right. If you pay postage, whatever it costs, get out of here. We'll get to you. It's really important. Some people's souls, though all people's souls depend on having the Word of God. I saw this do it. Now, we'll be in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4. Like I said, I'd love to hear from you. And I do really mean that. And I want to thank you all for calling a little more during the day. Faith told me that she's getting a few more calls in now. I don't want to shut down the answering service because of the lack of calls. I don't want to do that. But there's no point paying somebody to help us with the ministry money if it's not doing anybody a lot of good. Thank you for being there for us. God bless y'all. I mean that. Some people got angry at us and quit providing for us because we talk about Catholics or Mormons or Jews, whatever. They quit providing for us. Thank y'all for staying faithful to the Word of God. We love you. See you all tomorrow. Good night.
Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.